Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you every Wednesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m., and that would be 11 to midnight out on the East Coast. So I hope you're bookmarking, sharing, and following as our numbers are increasing every week. Thank you so much for tuning in to Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday evening. And if you miss a show, you can just click in to blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles. Scroll on down to your favorite guest. Could be an author, an expert, or both. Could be a community leader. Could be a politician, doctor. Just scroll on down, find your favorite topic and your favorite guest, and take a listen. All shows are archived for your listening pleasure, so you can listen at any time, anywhere around the world. And that's what's so wonderful about online radio, is that you can listen anywhere in the world at any time. But if you want to listen live, you'll have to check your time in your area. If you're out of the West Coast or East Coast, and also in your country. Tonight we're going to have a really special guest. She's going to take us on a tour of Florence, and who wouldn't want to visit Florence? I mean, seriously. And the name of her book is Florence, A Traveler's Guide to Its Gems and Giants by Patty Civilleri. And so don't touch that dial, because she'll be coming up soon in Authors and Experts Corner. So, in the meantime, well, we're talking about we have been talking about football. Everybody is talking about the NFL and how the NFL, the majority of NFL players are disrespecting the flag and the national anthem. I think they should take a look in the mirror and ask themselves where they came from and where they are today in the greatest country in the world. They're free to make millions of dollars throwing a football around. And who supports them? It's the American people, their fans. So why would they disrespect America and the American people? How many countries would pay them millions of dollars to toss around a ball in Russia or China or the Middle East or Cuba or Cambodia or South America? Where are they going to go to have the same American advantage that allowed them to reach their American dream? And there are plenty of young men waiting on the sidelines who would love to step into their shoes. So they need to take a look in the mirror and remember who gave them the opportunity, which country gave them the opportunity to be free and to be what they want to be and do what they want to do and be paid excessive amounts of money. You know, it's sad when people don't appreciate freedom, liberty, rights, and sovereignty, and even politicians who enter into public service, and then they expect the people to serve them, and suddenly they all become very wealthy. And so it's a sad day in the USA when politicians are spewing out disdain for a president of the United States, which says to the rest of the world that we are no longer the United States of America, but the divided states of America. And that is why we are having all of these threats, because our politicians are not supporting the president of the United States of America, for the most part, and the will of the American people who elected him. They are failing us, gravely failing us. And this is a reflection of who we are today as the world views us. And this is one of the reasons why our foreign enemy nations believe we are weak and that we are ripe for attack and ripe for foreign enemy invasions into our country. And people who stand up and give speeches and threaten the president, threaten to overthrow the White House, threaten to overpopulate and dominate our nation and still our nation without fear, because they believe we are divided and that we're ripe to change from being Americans into being communists, socialists, or accept a foreign ideology. Which is not true, because the American people are waking up, but we need to wake up our leaders. They need to support the President of the United States, uphold the Constitution and sovereignty, legal immigration. Of course, we're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of legal, natural-born Americans who own this soil and are innate to this soil. We are not immigrants, legal or illegal. This is our homeland. This is our country. And it becomes the homeland of all legal immigrants who assimilate and uphold our laws and peacefully go about worshiping whoever they like and being whatever they want to be and doing whatever they want to do. That's called America, the United States of America. So there isn't any country on the face of this earth that allows illegal immigration. You either get executed or you get thrown into a hellhole called a jail, or you get held hostage and mostly abused. So people need to stop this insanity, and they need to be thankful to God or whoever, whatever higher power they believe in, and be thankful that we live in the United States of America, the greatest nation on earth. And so on that note, I just want to say God bless you, and God bless everyone in the entire world. And I do hope that more people began to think positive thoughts into the world, put positive thoughts. We're all human beings. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all on the same planet. And instead of attacking each other, we need to help each other and make it a better world for our children, our grandchildren, and for the future generations to come. So on that note, I'm going to take a break. And we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. So don't touch that dial.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Colombo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Colombo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColomboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Colombo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColomboChronicles.com.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up to Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday evening, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Check the time in your area or your country. And remember, all shows are archived, so you can listen anytime at your convenience and check out your favorite guest, topic, expert, author, and sit back and relax and become educated, entertained, empowered, and enlightened. Now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts, and we do have a fabulous author and expert with us tonight. Her name is Patty Civilleri, and she wrote a fabulous book, and it's not just any guidebook. It is titled Florence, A Traveler's Guide to Its Gems and Giants. So I want you to come with us on a tour of Florence. And the book is beautiful. It's has beautiful color photographs in it. And you will love it. So Patty says, think People Magazine meets the Michelangelo. As a synopsis for Florence, Gems, and Giants. And this book links the fun backstories of the Florence Renaissance with the historical people and sites throughout the city. It uses micro-content, storytelling, and a hyper-visual setting to make it easy for you, the readers, to understand the true impact of art on the city and on Western history. It enables the reader to come away as the smartest person in the room without the commitment of heavy reading. And included is a lineup of the star-powered Renaissance celebrities, which are Michelangelo, Raphael, Dante, Galileo, Da Vinci, Donatello, Machiavelli, and plenty more. And a brief synopsis of the Renaissance serves as the backdrop to the fun tales, trivia, and factoids. So a little bit about Patty Civilleri as a historian and global archaeology professional. She enjoys the honor of serving on the Director's Council of the Cotsen Institute of Archaeology at the University of California in Los Angeles. She is on the board of the Center for Medieval and Renaissance Studies at California State University in Long Beach, and as the 2017 Commodore of the Alamitos Bay Chargers Boating Club in Long Beach, California. She's a writer, a photographer, a graphic designer, and technology professional. She's had the pleasure of building websites, photographing, marketing, and writing for over 200 commercial business clients around the country. Patty Civilleri is an avid cook, a sailor, a singer, and classical pianist residing in Long Beach, California with her family. So let's just get started and let's say good evening to Patty. Hi, Patty. How are you this evening?
Hi, Rose. What an amazing introduction. At first, I didn't know who you were talking about. Thank you so much.
Well, you're so welcome because you deserve
it.
And I absolutely want to thank you for sending me the book because it's absolutely beautiful. And I know you're a professional photographer, so I wanted to ask you if you took any or all of the photos in the book.
Excellent question. Yes, I took all of the outside, all of the natural light photos in the book, all around the city. I'm really happy to say that is probably close to 80% of the photos in the book. And I took those, and it was just a wonderful experience, and I hope that came across in the book.
Well, it did, because my daughter's a photographer, and I can't wait to show her your photos. She's going to absolutely love it. And Patty Civilleri, I'm so happy to have you on our show because
my children
have been to Italy and to Florence, and my grandparents were born. One was in Palermo, and the other was in Naples and so forth.
Oh, wow.
So next year we're planning a trip, so this came at the right time. Perfect timing.
I think that's fantastic.
So I actually
we have to get you there.
Yes,
that.
We do. I actually, well, you are a world traveler. That is so exciting. I mean, you must have a lot of fun traveling around the world and being able to meet people from all around the world. That has to be super exciting. I actually read part of your extensive background, and that's just part of it and that I read. But also, I need to ask you, what was your number one passion that led you to write this beautifully illustrated book with the beautiful color photos and all of the history behind it and the trivia? And what was that passion that led you to choose Florence?
Well, thank you for asking. Very simply, it's because I wasn't getting what I wanted. As I traveled for 17 years around the world, each time I would land in a city, I would look for a book that would sort of help me hit the ground running. I wanted a book that was super visual. I wanted one that kind of would give me micro content so I can sort of, you know, suck up a lot of facts and information quickly without having to read a big, heavy textbook. And what I was finding in nearly every city in the world is I was finding most travel books seem the same to me, sort of the, you know, top 10 things to do or the top 20 things to see or 3 days in this city or that city or where to eat and drink. That didn't do it for me. The only other alternative was a lot of times very heavy textbooks, which I didn't have any time to read. And when you're traveling, who wants to read that anyway? So I was looking for a middle ground that could really help me go deep into a city on a very short amount of time. And because I wasn't getting that, I decided to write that book. And the reason why I chose Florence was because I had been to Florence a couple of times in the past. And there's something, of all the cities I've been to in the world, there was something about Florence that every time it was time to leave, you had to drag me away. And when I wasn't there, I couldn't get it off my mind, and I have no idea why. That city just kept calling to me year after year, and I would return. I would find it difficult to leave, and it kept, and I had no idea why I couldn't stop thinking about this city. So a couple of years ago, I was coming off a really difficult photo shoot down in Belize. We were shooting ancient Mayan caves, and it sort of wrecked me. I mean, it was a month-long shoot, and it was a tough job, and I came home, and I sort of couldn't find my balance or my center, and, you know, 1 month went by, and 2 months went by, and I thought, you know what, maybe I just need to break off from reality, go someplace, and then come back and reboot. And I thought, well, where would I go? I thought, well, what about that one place that keeps calling to me? I'm going to go to Florence. And I found an Airbnb, and I rented an apartment for 2.5 months. Imagine me explaining that to my husband.
I love that story. What was his reaction?
After he got up off the floor?
I can imagine. You know, it's so funny you said that it keeps calling to you, because that's what my daughter says. She goes, oh, Mom, we have to stay in Florence when we go. She goes,
wow.
You won't. She goes, there's something about Florence. It is so beautiful. And I think it's like you with the art and the museums and the architecture and all the history. I think that has a lot to do with the photographer's eye, too, that a lot of us don't see.
You know, you're so right. It is a beautiful city. And when I first went there on my own on this trip, now that I'm going there for 2.5 months and I'm traveling alone, I rented this apartment. And the first morning I woke up and I looked out my window and I thought, why does the city look this way? What happened here? And I thought, well, I have to figure this out. So I bought guidebooks, I hired tour guides, I spent a couple of weeks walking the streets of Florence, going to all the museums, and what I ended up with was more questions than answers, and I thought, how do people come here for 3 days and get this? I've been here for 2 weeks, and I'm still not getting this. Maybe it's just me. And I couldn't find books. You know, I thought, okay, that's it. I am going to figure out this city before I leave here. And I did. I feel like I really did. I got to the heart of the city, and I understand what that city is about. And what I wanted to do is make it simple for people going for just a couple of days to go right down into the middle of it, just drill right down without having to stay for weeks or read a lot or do a lot, because, you know, they're kind of in a hurry. Vacations are tough these days.
Well, you know, that's so true. And you have most of the famous legends represented in your book, of course, Florence, Gems, and Giants. But a few of the historical events that you revealed in your book that I caught my eye, and I was wondering if you'd share a little bit of that with our audience, was the execution of a mad monk.
Oh, my gosh. What a great story that is. Really?
Yeah,
well,
really.
Well, I would be happy to. That is a fellow by the name of Girolamo Savonarola, and he was quite an interesting fellow. How do I talk about him? Basically, Girolamo Savonarola was hell-bent on cleaning up Dodge, or in this case, Florence. He detested, and I'm reading you a little bit out of the book, just to give you an idea. He detested anything that represented wealth, like jewelry, extra changes of clothing, more than just a pair of shoes, and gambling. He detested comedy, jokes, and a sense of humor. He detested homosexuality or sex in general. He detested music not related to religion, plays, poetry, and laughter. And he hated this plague that people have been calling art, especially the nudity and the open sexuality and the unrelenting displays of this art in public. He detested the whole humanist movement that encouraged individuals to think for themselves, to be creative, and to explore their own curiosity. Now, he was a monk that kind of rode into the city with his fire and brimstone ways and decided he wanted to change Florence. But more than anything, he hated the people he felt were responsible for this whole disgraceful Up With People movement, and that was the Medici. Now, he could be seen preaching from a soapbox as comfortably and as loudly as from a pulpit that all of these horrifying excesses must be stopped or there will be a coming that will destroy everything. His seemingly endless and extremely vocal rants encouraged the people to turn against their beloved Lorenzo de' Medici, who was Lorenzo the Magnificent. He held public bonfires where he encouraged folks to burn all of their previously mentioned excesses, you know, their jewelry and their clothing and whatever. These were later to become known as the Bonfires of the Vanities, and that's where that term came from. It later became a Tom Hanks movie. He fired off letters to the Pope in Rome pleading for some backup to assist him with the removal of the evil Lorenzo il Magnifico de' Medici. Well, the premature death of Lorenzo, who died at the age of 43 in 1492, became Savonarola's best recruiting tool as he used this tragic circumstance as an illustration of God's punishment for the prior century of Medici-driven evil practices. He brandished threats that if the citizens did not jump on board with him and his inordinate beliefs, the death of their cherished leader was merely the beginning. Several more years passed. Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say I really like that story because it really does portray someone who is so extreme, and he wants to gain enough power to make sure that everyone is on the same page with him. And that, you know, we see those characters even today where they are excessive in what their beliefs are, and then they try to force it on everybody else, and many times it ends up in tragedy.
You're right. You know, and this guy, he managed to win over so many people on his side. And what was interesting to me was the way that the city handled it and the way the Vatican handled him. But basically, several more years passed as this self-designated prophet, his rants became increasingly bombastic. In Rome, the Pope finally concluded that continued support for Savonarola would eventually backfire on him and on the papacy in general. Because after all, wasn't the current Pope, Alexander VI, who we all know as Rodrigo Borgia, he was becoming the symbol of greed and excess himself? Perhaps it was time to put an end to all of this vocal gibberish that was coming from Florence. And so with a dismissive wave of his hand... So on Palm Sunday in 1498, representatives from Rome showed up on the doorstep of the convent of San Marco, the residence of Savonarola, to place him under arrest. He and two other friars, his most devout followers, were taken to a cell in the Palazzo Vecchio, where he was imprisoned for approximately 7 weeks. During his containment, Savonarola was brought to confessing that he was simply following the voice of God that he heard every single day. So now we know he was hearing voices, and I have to simply wonder about that.
That's so intriguing. I mean, people need to finish that story because it is so intriguing and interesting. I mean, we have to compare these people of past history. Thank God there's people like you who do all this research. Because we think we're the only ones, you know, that are confronting these people, but they've been around forever.
They keep popping
unfortunately,
up.
Unfortunately, they keep coming back, resurrecting.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Like,
they just keep
popping
up.
A little bit of
up.
It reminds me, I mean, I support Trump, but a little bit it reminded me of Trump, you know, with the, you know, the problems he's coming up against. I mean, there's two extreme sides, you know. One extreme on the left, one on the right, and everybody's supposed to be right. So, you know, these are the things that have been happening throughout history. And
absolutely right. And I think the only way we can really ever be sure who's right and who's not right is by looking back on history. In other words, 20 years from now, we'll have a very clear idea of how we should have, you know, a better way to think or how we should have handled it.
Yes, and in your book, Florence, Gems and Giants, I like the title.
Thank you.
You also have trivia in it, and you talk about a little bit of trivia about the Legend of the Locks. I'd never heard of the Legend of the Locks. That was interesting as well.
Oh, yes, and when you cross the Ponte Vecchio, yes, if you have a lock, if you put a lock on the fence and throw the key over the side of the bridge into the Arno River, your love will be forever. Isn't that
wonderful? I wish I would have known that when I was younger. Darn it, I missed that one. They don't teach us the right things in school.
I'm not sure I should have put that in the book because right next to the fence is a little sign that says, don't do this.
You'll go to jail.
It might be me.
That's so funny. And we're talking to Patty Civileri, and she is the author and award-winning writer, and her book is Florence, Gems, and Giants. Very intriguing. And when we come back from a little break, Patty, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the gate to hell, or, oh, the stairway to hell.
Yes, I would be happy to.
Caught my attention too.
Oh.
You know, we're now into the spiritual realm too. You know, we have all these different religions, and then we have all these spiritual people, and then we have the New Agers, and I mean, there's so much. And so everybody's talking about heaven and hell in this day and age. And so that caught my attention too, the stairway to hell, which is not the direction we'd like to go, but here's it. It's in Florence. We will be right back after this important message, so please don't touch that dial. You're listening to Colombo Chronicles Live with our guest, Patty Civileri, and her wonderful book, Florence, Gems, and Giants.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live.
Colombo Chronicles Live.
Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back on Colombo Chronicles Live, and you are listening to The Rose Colombo, here for you every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, worldwide online radio where all shows are archived, and you can check them out just by going to blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles, and you can also find these radio shows on my Facebook, as well as the Justice Club and roseforjustice.com. So be sure to follow, bookmark, and listen in. So now we're going to ask our guest a wonderful question about the stairway to hell, because it appears to be in the Palazzo Vecchio in Florence. And so we want to know how to avoid that.
Well,
we're looking for
some very interesting people couldn't.
So could you tell us a little bit about that story about the Stairway to Hell for some?
Yes, absolutely. Well, while visiting the historically charged city, if you climb in the tower of the Palazzo Vecchio, it's something that you absolutely have to do. But you're going to pass a small prison cell that once held two very opposing enemies. One was Cosimo the Elder de' Medici, who was held there for a number of weeks before he was exiled out of the country, out of Florence. And then also it's where Girolamo Savonarola, the mad monk, was also held in that same cell. And these two were absolute bitter, bitter enemies. So that's definitely not a place where anybody wants to be imprisoned. It's a very small room with a very small door, and it is not where these guys spent their better days. And for them, it was hell.
Wow, that's horrible. I mean, that just even the thought of, you know, being thrown into a little cell that's all locked up and is just frightening. And to me, it represents prison cells, and prison cells, to me, are the stairway to hell.
The whole point of Florence was that the heart of Florence is really the Renaissance. And it was the Renaissance that took these people. Florence is where the Renaissance era began, and we've all heard of the Renaissance. I always thought of the Renaissance as a fair where you go and eat a big turkey drumstick and drink beer out of a big pewter mug. But really what the Renaissance was were guys like Michelangelo and Da Vinci and Machiavelli and Raphael, Donatello, Brunelleschi, Botticelli, Dante, Galileo, the Medici. These guys were all from Florence, and most of these guys actually knew each other. I mean, think about the power of these guys knowing each other. See, these guys were born in a time that was the Dark Ages, and people weren't always allowed to speak their minds or their thoughts or their beliefs. So this group of guys together used their art as the voice of free thinking. Their art made people step out of their bonds of the Dark Ages and see the world in an enlightened new way, which later became known as the Renaissance era. That is what the Renaissance was. It was this yanking out of the Dark Ages that took a 1,000-year history and made it veer off into a 90-degree angle into a whole new world of free thinking and open thinking, which is the world that you and I live in today. We would not have free thinking. We would not be able to think in terms of democracy and free thinking and so forth if it wasn't for this group of guys in this city back then.
Isn't
these guys
amazing?
Opened the world to thinking.
And yes, and so they're not only a legend, they're also heroes to freedom. And
absolutely
that,
right. I mean, it's much bigger thing than we think. And even though we've heard of these guys and we've heard of the term Renaissance, it's kind of neat that visiting the city sort of connects all those little dots of those names and places that we've heard about in high school, but didn't really understand the heart of it. And when you go to Florence, that is the heart of Florence, is that Florence is single-handedly responsible for changing the course of Western history.
Well, I think in your book, Florence, Gems, and Giants, you bring these personalities to life. So I think when people read your book and the trivia and so forth and the history and they see the photos, and I think that if they do that before they travel to Italy and Florence, I think that it will come to life for them, and they'll feel as if they almost know them. They can relate to
that. You are absolutely right. It is a great read on the airplane, and so that when you get there, you will really get in touch with it, and you'll see places like where Michelangelo hid for 3 months underneath the floor of a church, and he painted the walls. It's a little tiny kitchen-sized chamber underneath the floor of a church. You can actually go there and see what he painted on the walls while he hung out in this little teeny chamber for three whole months.
Better than graffiti.
You know, there's and what he was doing when he fibbed, when he tried to fake a statue, a little, you know, a fake baby Cupid and tried to sell it off as a real ancient piece of art, you know. The guy was a character. He was hysterically funny.
And very ingenious.
Extreme. He was brilliant, but I have to tell you, the guy lived on a different plane. But he's so fun to learn about. But to follow him around the city, or to follow any of these guys around the city, gives you a real personal connection to what you're looking at and what you're seeing and what you know and who you're reading about. It's fantastic. These guys lasted. These are superstars, you know. They've held out for longer than the Beatles so far. But these guys are superstars, and they've lasted 500-600 years for a reason. And it's really worth checking out the reasons.
Yes.
They're fun.
And, I saw it too, you know. I noticed that you talked about the pharmacy back then as well. And I was like, holy smoke, the pharmacy and is interesting because now we're having all these issues with Big Pharma today, and back then it was the ancient pharmacy.
I thought about it that way.
Maria Novella.
Yes.
So they were part of that increasing industry that hit America, and today we're calling it Big Pharma, but back then it was ancient pharmacy. Yeah,
but that little pharmacy is a surprise. It's not in most guidebooks.
I've
a little searching to get there. But if you find it, just walking in the front door will make you it'll just make you go. it is such a beautiful building and room. When you walk in, you expect a retail store. It's nothing like a pharmacy that you or I know. And it is 1,000 years old. These guys have been mixing these potions for royals for 1,000 years, these monks. And they have been, this is a magnificent little place to stop and visit while you're in the city.
I can tell because I'm an esthetician, so I could tell from your photos.
Ah, interesting.
It's somewhere I definitely want to visit. Yes.
Bring your camera. It is a photo-worthy little place. Surprise, it's just a pharmacy.
I let her do all that.
Did you find the section about getting high in Florence?
Getting high?
Uh-huh, I gotcha.
Well,
getting high in Florence.
I've never done that, but where do we do that?
Well, getting high in Florence. One of the things that has always kind of bothered me because I've had a camera in my hand for, you know, decades, is that when you look through a guidebook, they have such beautiful photos, and I've always wanted to know, where did they go to get those photos? You know, where were they? So I created a section in the book called Getting High in Florence, and it's all the places to climb up in the towers, to climb up in the buildings, to go to rooftop hotels and restaurants, getting high, get it? To get all the really great scenic photographs that are in the book.
Oh, wow. And the other thing you mentioned in your book, too, that I didn't see in other guidebooks was you talked about the banks.
Yes, the Medici Bank. Ah, the Medicis were famous. They were money lenders. They created our current standard form of accounting today. The Medicis became powerful because they lent money to what they called the popolo minuto, which were the common people. Before then, the banks would only lend to wealthy people. And the question was, gee, why do you lend to wealthy people who don't need it when it's really the poor people that need it? Well, the Medici decided to, they lent money to the great population. And because the great population was so huge, much larger than the elite, it gave them a lot of power. And when it came time to figure out who they wanted in City Hall and who they wanted in their seats of power, this giant population of people who were taken care of by the Medici all wanted them in the city seats. And that's how the Medici, grew their power and became so strong.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so it kind of gives us insight because, you know, we all know about the Rothschilds and the banks and all that and
right.
how huge they became and powerful. And so we really can look back in your book and think about, well, we really don't think that this all started back when, but it actually did all start back when. And I think your book is a wealth of information, and you only touched on just a few things, believe it or not, just a few intriguing and interesting facts and trivia and so forth. And just looking at the photos on a trip would be fantastic. So I understand that you are going. Oh, that you did come back from Venice. You made a trip to Venice, is that right?
I did. I just spent 2 months in Venice this summer and researching that city and looking for the heart of that city. And it has such a completely different story to tell than Florence. And you will find that my books are not template-driven. They are driven by the cities. So Venice will be a completely different book, but with the same style. Lots of trivia, lots of stories, lots of photos, you know, lots of little blue boxes. But Venice has an intriguing story that is absolutely amazing. I'm working on it now, and I am so excited to tell that story. It's one that the first few words in the book is, "Welcome to Venice. You're not in Italy anymore."
I like that.
And yeah, but now you have to see why.
I definitely will be looking forward to it. You'll have to come back and tell us all about that.
Oh, with pleasure.
And also, I understand that you are getting the Irwin Award from the Book Publicist of Southern California.
I am.
Florence, Jensen, Giants.
I am. I was recently nominated, my book was recently nominated as the Best International Travel Book of the Year 2017. So I will find out next month. Unfortunately, I will be out of the country when the awards are announced. I'm really honored to be nominated for that, and I'm excited about it.
That's fantastic.
And I'm
That's
crossing my fingers.
In.
Will you cross yours too?
Absolutely.
Aww.
And also, let's see. Oh, you're going to Egypt, right?
I'm going to Egypt next week.
Wow.
Yes.
You are really a world traveler. And what are you going to do in Egypt?
It's all archaeology, and there are some new discoveries, some new tombs and mummies that have been discovered in the Valley of the Kings area, and we have been invited by the Minister of Antiquities to come and visit some of these new discoveries that won't be open to the world for probably a couple of years, is my guess.
Wow, that's exciting. And I mean, I went to Washington, D.C. with my kids, and they're adult kids. And they're still my kids.
I have adult kids, too.
You'll always be my kids. Carol,
there. Yes, always. Always.
So we had a blast, and we went to the museum, and they had the mummies. From Egypt. Oh my God, I was so fascinated. I was like, they'd drag me out of there.
Well, we're still
thinking,
going to have to crawl into these tombs. Some
these
of these
symbols.
Tombs we have to crawl into on our hands and knees with torch lighting and that kind of stuff. But it'll be fun and interesting, and they probably will not allow me to produce any photos from this trip, but if I could I would. That's all I can say.
Can't you get one of those little spy cameras?
I know, huh? I mean, if I could sneak them, I would.
See, I'm going to get you in all kinds of trouble here.
I know. I'll say Rose made me. Rose
made you. Go get Rose. You can find her on Columbo Chronicles. Well, Patty, it has been such a pleasure, and well, maybe, you know, we'll be able to get together when you're not traveling and talk
Aww.
About more of these.
It would
of
be
your
my
treasure.
Pleasure.
Oh, mine too. And Patty Civilleri, your book, Florence, Gems, and Giants, the floor is yours right now. Please give our audience any message you want and let them know how they can find your book.
Obviously, they just need to go to Amazon and type in Florence, Gems, and Giants, and it'll come right up along with the fun book that goes with it, and which is a great little book of puzzles and games and quests that'll take you around the city of Florence. And or they can go to italytravelbooks.com, and they will also find find the book and lots of more information about the book there as well.
Fantastic. And we'll look forward to your next book, Venice. And I don't know the title yet, but we know it'll be all about Venice. And it's going to be just as exciting, I'm sure, and we can't wait. So be sure to let us know when that book is completed and published so we can talk about Venice. This is exciting.
Oh, Rose, and thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, well, thank you. And it should be fun, right? Traveling should be fun.
Yes.
I'm glad you have an understanding husband. Because
I just want
him to know that I love your book.
We're still married.
So. Okay, just tell him I need your book, and I'm glad he was nice enough to let you go and do and complete your book so the rest of us can enjoy it. And
thank you
God
so
bless
much.
You and be safe on your travels. And
thank you.
We'll talk to you
thank
again
you so much
soon.
For giving me the time today. This is wonderful. What a treat.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, you have a great evening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, Annie, thank you again so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And Patty Civilleri has left the building. Be sure to look up on Amazon.com, Florence, Gems, and Giants. It's such a remarkable book because it has so much, not only trivia, but historical facts and information that you're going to love. And her last name is spelled, it's Patty, and then Civalleri. And Patty has left the building, so we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Hi, we're back on Columbo Chronicles. We just have a few minutes left. We've left the world of authors and experts with Patty Civilleri and her book, Florence, Gems, and Giants, on Amazon.com. But now we're going to talk a little bit about a political article that came out, and it's rather disturbing, at least to me. It's on USAtoday.com, and I would suspect the majority of the American people. Because the GOP has not repealed Obamacare. They have not vetoed and lined out mandated taxpayer-funded RFID lithium chips for citizens against their will. No one should be mandated to accept a computer chip in their bodies. We're not robotoids. We were given our rights come from God, not from politicians, not from Wall Street, not from bankers. Now, they can try and do bad things to people and depopulate us and do whatever their evil, sinister plans may be. But bottom line is that we are not robotoids, and God gave us our inalienable God-given rights and our freedom, our liberty, and our right to think. And those lithium chips take away your right to think, and they will control you. And some people have alleged they could kill you, and they can target you, and they can use microwaves against you and all sorts of things. And you can break out in sores, just like the Bible says, if you read Revelations. It's not that long. Go ahead and read it. And it tells you not to take that Mark of the Beast 666, which is that lithium microchip for big Wall Street people. And maybe Congress is invested in it because they don't want to repeal Obamacare. Maybe they're invested in Big Pharma because they don't want to line out and veto mandated taxpayer-funded vaccinations. I will bet you there that a lot of them are invested in Big Pharma and those microchips. And we didn't vote them into office, and we don't pay them lifetime wages, cost of living increases, so that they can exempt themselves from the law and exempt themselves from the microchip and mandated vaccinations and all the death panels that are included in Obamacare. We are the government. We the people. American people have forgotten that. We are the government. They are public servants. We aren't here to serve them. They are getting paid to serve us and uphold the Constitution, and that's their only duty. So, this says President Trump's nominee to be the nation's top health official introduced legislation last May that benefited a health company he had recently invested in. And, you know, you can always follow the money. I mean, you can always follow the money, and it always leads back to bribes for votes, favors in backroom doors, campaign donations, and they sell out our country and our citizens for money, the money they want to destroy and control our personal lives, our bodies, our thoughts, our children, and our property, our assets, our money that their parents and grandparents and ours died for, and Americans are still dying for on the battlefields, and many are disabled for life, and many are in veterans' hospitals, and their bodies maimed or blown up for profit. Mandated taxpayer-funded abortions, it's okay with them to slaughter little future natural-born Americans, 70 million, that's more Americans than have ever died in the history of our nation. Time to wake up, America. It all goes back to Wall Street, Big Pharma, and big profits. And if they're going to sell your children's body parts and kill people for and behead them for organs and so that they can create their super robotoid or humanoid or whatever the heck they're doing. God help us. And remember, prayer is powerful. If you believe in a higher being, pray that God thwarts all of these evil agendas. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless all our veterans, our military, the families of the fallen soldiers and the people around the world who are suffering from these natural disasters. God bless everybody, and may God bring peace into the world. Just think positive thoughts and pray for peace, and think positive thoughts for peace in the world. And your thoughts will go out into the universe, and they will help make this a better
world for everybody, and especially for the children, the grandchildren, and future generations. God bless you.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.